Hello and welcome to Talent Takes Time. And this is actually a bonus edition for you. So this was Gary Hayes' idea. So Gary is my podcast producer from the Highway 61 network. And he said, how about for a bonus episode, I interview you? So I thought, yeah, why not? I mean, I'm always used to being the one asking the questions. So this is definitely going to be a bit weird. But just an opportunity, I guess, to reflect on the whole series. So here's Gary, the man who's pulling all the strings behind the scenes.
How are you feeling, Alison, about being grilled?
I've actually gone bright red. I feel really quite weird. I'm so used to being in control. I have no idea what you're going to ask me, so be kind.
Well, I've let you do the intro, which must be a bit weird, having to introduce an interview that you're being interviewed on.
Introduce myself.
It's all gone a bit Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it'd just be nice to obviously talk about some of the experiences that you've had doing this podcast, because as we were producing it, just to remind everyone how it came about, was that we had worked together previously elsewhere and follow each other on social media. And I saw what you were doing throughout lockdown with your Talent Takes Time on Instagram. And I just thought it'd work well as a podcast. So we spent many hours talking about how that would work. And then we sort of found the format for it. And this has become your first podcast ever, isn't it? Which is, I find a bit strange, because you're so experienced in broadcasting. You've got a good voice for stuff. So I'm surprised no one else had come along and took you off the market, so to speak.
Do you know, I'm so pleased I've done it as well. I think, to be honest, it was more fear from my point of view, because I didn't have the experience. And actually, a good friend of mine, Lindsay Hooper, who's a very experienced podcaster herself, has the Offside Rule podcast. She suggested it to me a while ago, why don't you have your own podcast? And to be honest, I just didn't know where to start. And I'm sure there's a few people listening to this who feel the same way. And so to have you behind me really, really helped. And I also thought it was time for collaboration. I've done so much of my entire career on my own, being a freelancer, and it's just been really nice kind of working together on this. And I am a massive podcast fan. I literally listen to so many. And I love the fact that both you and me had the same favourite podcast, Gary. I remember when I mentioned Serial and S-Town, which obviously came after Serial, which I absolutely loved. And that's kind of what got me thinking about the power of a podcast and in essence, storytelling, which is what I love. And I love listening to people's stories. I actually don't care. I mean, the people that I'm interviewing for this series, they're all famous, or at least they have some kind of notoriety in their field. But I'm really fascinated by all kinds of people. And I think everyone has a story to tell. I've always liked interviewing people, so I've really, really enjoyed it.
So let's go back to the beginning then and talk about where Talent Takes Time came from, but also to get a perspective on your career, because we've heard from so many different people and different characters throughout this series. But some of the stories you tell me and some of the stuff that we've subsequently discussed inadvertently on Clubhouse when we've been in rooms or we've been hosting rooms, I find really interesting. So I just thought it'd be nice for us to talk about that as well, and you to sort of get an opinion across from what you've gone through, because I know you've done that with the little vignettes of voiceover that we put into episodes, but I thought it'd be good to hear some of the experiences you've had as well.
Yeah, I just think one of the most strange things and interesting things about a podcast is you don't quite know how it's going to evolve. So when I first thought about it, it was literally having conversations with people I knew, with friends mainly, because I think that's important, because you can just have a chat. And I wanted them to explain what this industry is really like, the brutal truths of the industry. But also, in essence, obviously, it's called Talent Takes Time. It was all about believing in the long game, embracing the hard work, all of that kind of stuff. Just not feeling put off, because it was something that I felt along the way in my career. So many different moments. I just thought, I wouldn't say rock bottom, but there were moments where I thought, you know, this is kind of all over, because a contract ends, you don't know what's happening next. I remember Jackie Oatley spoke about it. Both of us went to have a coffee at the World Cup, and both of our contracts were ending after that World Cup, and we didn't know what was next. But I think what's happened during that podcast is there have been some really key talking points that have kind of resonated with all my guests, and they've kind of become, I suppose, the foundations of debate, and sort of led me to kind of carry on with this, go into a season two and beyond, just because I think it's worth exploring some of the topics that we've kind of stumbled upon, like safety, like making contacts in the industry, like longevity, you know, in terms of older women staying in the game, all those kind of topics. And yeah, it's been really fascinating, actually, like speaking to friends that I've known for years, some of them 20 years, and they've been telling me stuff that we've never really discussed because we're always so busy working. We never have a conversation about this. And because it's super competitive, even you can have friends in the industry and actually not really want to talk too much to them about work. Unfortunately, that's the way that it is. As Gary Taphouse said in one of the episodes, this leads you to be a little bit selfish, unfortunately, this career.
So let's talk about the path that you took, because I know you've touched upon a whole host of experience you've had, you know, going from shopping TV into club TV. So forgetting that just for a minute, so there's no repetition. But I always find it interesting that you sort of, although you were broadcasting, in my career I was doing the written word before I ended up moving into podcasts. But we had a similar path in that I was never interested in doing national press, you know, newspapers. I just wanted to go and work for Chelsea, covering Chelsea and sort of doing things in a different way, because I saw that you could have a good career doing that and you could do something in the same field but a little bit different. So how come you chose to go into Real Madrid TV and then Chelsea TV and not take that route directly into somewhere like the BBC or Sky, which a lot of people listening to this might think is the conventional way of doing it, whereas what you did was a little bit left of centre, but it got you to where you are now?
Yeah, definitely. And this is one of the things that I think is really what Talent Takes Time is all about. It's about journeys and different people's journeys and about how there's more than one way of getting there. So a lot of people contact me and they say, what do I need to do? And there really isn't one way. For me, I loved television. I loved the art of making television. I wanted to be in a television company. And it's really funny, actually, because it's only where, you know, your friends and your family only think that you've made it, in inverted commas, when they see you on, say, a household name like the BBC. I remember when I was on the ITV, when I was on ITV doing, what was I doing? Europa League. I think suddenly my mum and dad thought, oh, this is a proper job. She's on a proper channel I can watch her on. But weirdly, the sort of the best moment of your own career might be something very, very underground and very different, but just because it's not perceived.
And that's the thing about working with a club, right, is that I wasn't, for me, and I guess for you, I wasn't doing stuff that was getting national headlines until someone was lifting my quotes from an interview I did in the magazine or the programme. But you're getting the one thing that hardly anyone gets, and that's access.
Yeah, it's true. And actually, it's really funny. I think this is so many careers, actually. I've got a really good friend of mine who's a composer, a music composer, and he's been doing some great indie work for years and years. And it was only when he did a big Hollywood blockbuster and suddenly everyone was like, wow, you've made it. And he kind of said to me, do you know that the truth is, I kind of felt like I made it when I did something I was really proud of, not when I was in the Hollywood blockbuster that perhaps I was, I don't know, didn't have as much control. And it's similar with our careers as well. Like there have been some really proud moments that I've had when no one would have even, or hardly anyone would have even seen that interview. But it's just, like you say, being in a club channel was fantastic for access. I mean, what I would give now to be back at Chelsea TV. I mean, I can't believe I'd roll my eyelids about having to watch another training session in the rain. I mean, now I'd bite your arm off. Oh, my goodness, because no one else is allowed to watch them. So you are seeing
the privilege, right? The privilege of
it is
seeing players that close and in an environment where they eventually start seeing you as their colleagues rather than someone who's interviewing them. You know,
yeah,
you just have
which
a relationship.
Takes a long time, that
does,
relationship
you,
building.
Yeah, and you get these relationships that endure, right? It's like you've got relationships that go well beyond what you did at Chelsea TV.
Yeah, and you know what? I will get back onto the sort of how my pathway began, but those relationships, one of the things I talk about in Talent Takes Time is these long, long burning relationships, and it's so true. I mean, literally some of them will be like 10 years, 20 years in the making before you even call on a favour of someone. Or it might be, I mean, I've spoken about it before, it might be working with someone who, you know, had a very small job in the beginning. Actually, I have a perfect example. I worked with a guy, Tom, who was a runner. And over the years, I could tell he was really good and he would go somewhere. And he did. He ended up, you know, producing and associate producing and became pretty senior in another sports company. And one day eventually rang me up and asked me if I'd like some presenting work.
Amazing.
And, you know, so he was my runner who was making me tea. And, you know, I have to say, it does make you feel a bit uncomfortable. But when I was working for the Premier League, I had, you know, I had runners fetching me dinner and laying everything out in my dressing room. And, you know, you feel a bit like, oh, come on, like, they don't want to be doing this. I wanted to give them work that was going to help them progress in their career. So I'd always say, listen, you know, don't worry about it. I can sort myself out. But then they would say, well, you know, this is my job. So, but we've all been there. I mean, I had to make teas in the beginning. When I was at CNBC, I made lots of teas and coffees and cut tapes and all the rest of it. And it is, it's relationship building. And as long as you're patient and you can put up with that and bite your tongue, and hopefully you don't get to work with too many divas. I've had one or two divas in my time, but not too many. I did have one presenter who threw the scripts across the table and used to go mental when, like, if someone had written a bad sentence that he had to read out on autocue.
It wasn't Piers Morgan, was it?
It wasn't. It wasn't. Do you know, Piers has actually been very good to me in my career as well, because he gave me an opportunity to come on Good Morning Britain and speak about the sport. And, you know, he's difficult to work with, as people know. He asks the tough questions. But it does help you in your sort of debating. And, you know, I'm always really well prepared whenever I go on Good Morning Britain, because I know what I'm faced with. And you know what? If you walk into an easy interview situation every time, you're never going to grow. So, you know, I always do have a little bit of defence for him. I know he's Marmite, though. You love him or you hate him.
So let's just talk about, you mentioned patience there. And there was one thing that always stuck out for me in all of these episodes that we did together, listening to them back and forth and cutting them, was the interview with Rebecca Lowe. And she comes from, you know, obviously she's a superstar in her own right, and that's how people rightly know her. But obviously her background is that she comes from a family of rich heritage in the media, but she comes at it really humbly. And she's saying, look, you've got to start at the bottom. I started at the very bottom. So for you, how has that patience served you, and how have you been patient in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I've been very patient. I feel something Jackie Oatley said that was really important is she says, I did those lower jobs, but it was a privilege. All of it was a privilege. So you've got every single part of that you're doing, you're almost not seeing it as a stepping stone. Even though it is, you've got to enjoy it at the time. And then bit by bit, you are moving up the ladder. But as Rebecca said, Rebecca Lowe, it's not always a straight ladder, and you'll sometimes go down a bit. And, you know, it is worth pointing out, some people are very lucky. They go straight in at the top and they stay there, or at a high level. But for other people, it takes years and years and years. And I think my biggest message was, don't be put off by those years at the bottom, because they will always come back to help you. The people you meet, they're so important. And you might go a slightly different route, and you might find that something that you did on that journey might end up shaping your entire career. And also, talking of different routes, I mean, I studied psychology at university, and I've always been fascinated by the human mind and different people and different personalities. And I definitely think that when I interview people, that kind of helps me keep an interest, I guess, in what people are saying, and everyone is just so different. But yeah, I have had to be patient, because there have been times where, you know, I thought my career, you always think your career should be an upward trajectory, and I've had situations where I've gone from, you know, hosting a World Cup for ESPN, one of the biggest networks in the world, to, you know, getting up at 4 a.m. and getting on a train to go to TalkSport to do a 10-minute paper review to maybe give myself an opportunity to get in the door at TalkSport.
The glamour of it all,
eh? That's what you got to do, exactly. And that's where, you know, little things like safety were brought up, because, you know, I was walking in the pitch black at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning through the streets to get to this job, but I would almost do anything that it took. And people might think, well, yeah, you'd do that in the beginning when you're 21. Well, I was 30 something when I was doing that. And I'd had, like I say, I'd been on ITV hosting live matches and stuff, but, you know, it's one of those things, how can I put it? You're only as good as your last job, in a way. So even though I've done all these great things, people might only look at what you last did a year ago. So you have to be constantly reinventing yourself and constantly getting yourself that experience, I think, to sort of keep yourself relevant, especially for someone like me who worked a lot in global companies and global channels. So it's taken you out of the UK consciousness a bit. So that's been difficult. Yeah, patience. I've had to be very patient.
I think that, and what you're saying there as well, is just remaining humble, right? And when we talk about stuff and we're talking about deadlines, I start using football analogy. So I'll bring one here. It's sort of like in your career that when you're this superstar young player, the guys who make it are the ones who don't forget what it was that helped them make it in the first place. So it's about the hard work. It's about staying after training. It's about, you know, continuing to develop and try to, you know, continue, you know, bettering yourself. And a lot of people, where they do fail in the end, is they think, I'm not getting up at five anymore because I don't have to, because I'm Alison Bender and I was on ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing. I mean, by the way, no one in this industry ever really thinks they've made it, because there's always something else that you want to do, and there's always something, you know. I still think that I kind of feel like I'm still at the beginning of my career, bizarrely, but I'm not. But that's the thing. It just happens over, it's a whirlwind. And sometimes, you know, actually, for recording this podcast, I actually sat down and I kind of reflected on the things that I've done. And it was only then, in a way, that I realised, gosh, I've actually done quite a lot of stuff. Wow, how did that happen? But, it, you know, it's really cliche, isn't it? But it's like life happens when you're thinking about something else or doing something else. It's like you're just so busy getting on with it that you actually forget what you're doing in a weird kind of a way.
So let's bring this short conversation full circle, Alison, and we'll finish where we started with podcasts. You've worked in TV, you've worked in radio, you've done stuff in print. How have you found the whole experience of doing your first podcast that you've produced yourself, with a bit of assistance from us? You've written it, you've recorded it, you've come up with the concept. How have you found that whole experience?
I've really, really enjoyed it. And I think, you know, this one's a very simple podcast, really. It's a conversation with a little bit of narrative, but it's kind of given me a hunger for doing even more. And I know we're working on another one together, which will have a bit more production value, a bit more, some more music, some sounds, and kind of some various different voices, and so not just one voice. But I do think this has been a perfect experience for me. It's kind of like the 101, like the kind of the beginner's podcast, just to kind of get in the vibe. And I've been listening to so many as well, and I love kind of drawing inspiration from all my favorite different podcasts from all different genres as well. So yeah, I've absolutely loved it, and it is really different. I mean, TV is my first and foremost kind of medium. That's what I've always done. And then I went into radio later, and I found radio interesting because obviously you've got no picture, so you have to really paint that picture. And I think podcast almost sits in the middle in a funny way between radio and TV. And I definitely think that there's a huge market for it still, even though it seems so saturated and everyone's got a podcast. But I think that there are different ways of doing it. And some of the top podcast producers, they do it in such a spectacular way that it feels a lot bigger than sort of simple podcasts that you might see.
So I think you've done something different with this one. So just to close out, what would be your advice for anyone who wants to start their own podcast and not just do a podcast, but do one that resonates with an audience? And
yeah, I think you've got to do something that you care about, that you're passionate about. I mean, I've really enjoyed chatting with my friends over this. And then by adding my little narrative pieces that I have done between, I've been able to kind of add my own advice, because this is an area I know about, right? So I've not had to, it actually wasn't that difficult. I think that's the key thing. I didn't spend hours researching. I mean, I've got two kids, as you know. Most of the little narrative pieces I wrote sort of, you know, between tea time and bath time or whatever, like whenever I could grab a second. And so I was able to do it really quickly because it was something I cared about and something I knew about. So I would always say, if you're doing a podcast, don't try and do something you think people want to hear. Do something that you love. And if you love it so passionately and you're really passionate about it, hopefully you'll be able to inject the kind of enthusiasm so other people will enjoy it. And I've been really pleased, because you know what, I just wanted to do this, but it's been really nice just getting lots of random messages from people on all my various platforms of social media saying how they've enjoyed it and how it's helped. And they've all been completely different types of people. Some people are people entering the industry, some are really young, sort of thinking about it, maybe just doing their GCSEs or A-levels and wondering whether they go down that route. Some people are in the industry and have been for years and it really resonates. And then other people who've got in touch with me are in a completely different industry altogether, but they say these are the similar issues that we experience. And so I do think that there is definitely room in this podcast even to go further and further and even enter different industries with it.
Which is something we've got planned, right?
Hopefully, yeah. I definitely want to carry on with it. It's enjoyable. I've tried to keep them short purposely because I know people are pretty time poor at the moment. And so we try and cut out a lot of the waffle. I hope you appreciate that, because I know it's hard when you love podcasts as I do, trying to fit them all in before the next one is out. So yeah, that's another thing we've tried to do. And yeah, it's just, I think we're both on the same page, Gary. So if you, you know, if you can find someone who sort of shares the same kind of enthusiasm for someone, for something, then that's a great way forward.
Okay, right. Well, you introduced an interview of yourself, so I'll just close this out. So this was the end of series one of Talent Takes Time with Alison Bender. If you want to follow Alison, you can follow her on Instagram, Twitter and TikTok. She's at AliBenderTV. And all that's left to say now is come back for series two.
Talent Takes Time is presented by me, Alison Bender. The series producer is Gary Hayes, and Matt Alabaster has produced all our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. If you'd like to know more about my career in the media, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter and TikTok at AliBenderTV. You can also sign up to my website, alisonbender.com, for more information on getting into the media industry. This has been a production for the Highway 61 Network.